Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecalantonio.com. And if you haven't heard already, I just wanted to remind you there is now a free app for Test Talks for both Android and iOS devices. You can easily grab the links to the apps from testtalks.com. I highly recommend you check it out and download it for free, so you never miss another episode of automation awesomeness for your earbuds. Basically, the idea for this episode started when I was trying to research a tool that can help me with test data management. And I think I've mentioned many times on this show that I work with multiple teams across multiple locations, and we have a really weird branching strategy that I don't think is optimal, where we downmerge from the int branch, and each team has their own individual branch, which I call the dev branch, and they develop in the dev branch for 2 weeks, and then they merge up to the int branch. So picture 8 to 10 teams doing this across the globe. They don't really collaborate well with one another, communicate well with one another, and there's all kinds of issues when they're running their test. You know, we do behavior-driven development, so when they run their BDD test within their dev branches, sometimes certain tests run for certain teams that they don't work for other teams, and it's all because we all have different data. And when they finally do merge up into int, and then we run against our CI environment, things start failing there also, and teams start saying, well, it works in our dev environments, so it's not a real issue. And then now we just build up this tech debt because all these tests are not running in our CI environment, and we're really not getting the value that you would get out of continuous tests that run every night to give this feedback that developers need to make sure that they didn't break the build. So I've been struggling with test data management for over 2 years. A really good book that covers this is Continuous Delivery by Jez Humble and David Farley. And they have a really good chapter on chapter 12 actually called Managing Data. But this book is a little bit old. It's from 2011. And a lot of the suggestions that they recommend in this chapter, I've tried having the team take a look at and try to implement and really have not had any success with it. So as I was researching, I came across this concept of data virtualization. And the first company that I stumbled upon was Delphix. So I ended up speaking with the guys at Delphix, Kyle and Brett, and we just decided to create an episode around it. And just, you know, it's a real issue that I'm struggling with, and I'm just reaching out to different vendors, different tools to see if they can help me solve this. And this is one of these vendors that I reached out to find more about. And I just thought, hey, why don't I just repurpose this content while I'm learning about this solution that I need for my particular issue? I'm sure a lot of people are facing the same exact issue, and maybe this is some sort of solution that may be able to help them also. So today, that's what this episode is all about. It's all about test data management using data virtualization. Check it out. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Brett and Kyle, welcome to Test Talks.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?
Awesome. Before we get into it, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourselves?
Yeah, sure. My name is Brett Stevens. I currently work at a software startup in Silicon Valley called Delphix. I've been here for about a year and a half. Previously, I've been filled a role called the business technology consultant. So I've worked across a bunch of customers of Delphix, and I've seen a lot of different, you know, testing strategies, and we've particularly run into a lot of test data management practices.
Hey, this is Kyle Haley. Yeah, I work alongside Brett at Delphix, been here about 5 years. And previous to that, I've been working on building tools to manage databases at Oracle and Embarcadero, and dealt both the Oracle sort of waterfall design methods and then Embarcadero's agile methods.
I guess at a high level, before we even get into it, is what is data virtualization and how can it help someone who's creating tests or test cases?
Sure. So data virtualization is basically a way to, it's an integrated data masking and delivery solution. So it virtualizes data across the application lifecycle. So today you might have multiple copies of like production data sets for development, testing, training, reporting, backup, disaster recovery. And the issue is that Making all those copies consumes both storage and also time and people. There's a lot of inefficient processes that go into provisioning a database. So data virtualization is basically a way to reduce the consumption of those infrastructure resources and then also streamline the delivery of that data to application teams.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Brett. Yeah, I sort of think in a simplified way, like VMware took a single set of hardware and made mini machines out of it, or virtual machines. With a virtual data, we take one set of data, so one immutable set of data, and provide many copies, read-writable copies on top of that shared set of immutable data.
Awesome. So I'm just trying to visualize this. So I work with a very large team. We have 10 sprint teams, and these 10 sprint teams, they all have their own environments. So there's 10 different databases that they have to set up. And I also have a database within my CI environment. So are you saying something like test data virtualization, test data management, that you can almost make an instance of just, say, the database that's in the CI environment and just provision it out to these sprint teams rather than have them set up their own environments and have to worry about maintaining the separate database servers on their own?
Yeah, totally. One of the big advantages of virtual data is really there's only one copy of the data. So as opposed to taking a production database and making, I think you said you had 11 teams, so making 11 full copies of that, we basically have an automated stack that collects the data from the source, keeps a time window of the changes on that source. And then when we make 11 copies, if they're virtual copies, they aren't actual physical copies. We just expose pointers to existing data that already exists. And it's like snapshot technology. Once those copies, if they modify the data, they don't modify the original data. They write their new changes elsewhere so that the other clones or copies don't see it.
And then, Joe, the other interesting thing as well is that so the way that data virtualization works is that it would ingest a source database, whether it's a production database or maybe synthetic data that's been created. And then from there on out, all changes to that source are collected. So not only would you have like a static snapshot of those 11 different environments of the data that the developer would need, but you would also have like a test data factory of all those different data sets, maybe data set that's masked or generated at, a week ago versus today. You'd be able to move those data sets into an environment as needed.
So this might actually solve an issue we've been having for a while, is that we have an environment, we have a database that we instantiate every day. So we wipe it out and we start off fresh every day. But the problem with that is we have a snapshot in time of what it's being refreshed from. So it may have, say, we do patients. So we have certain patients that are in certain statuses, like they're checked in. But over time, say after 6 months, that data becomes stale. So I'm just curious to know how you would handle a situation like that where there is potential for a lot of stale data in your test data.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think like one of the reasons why enterprises are looking towards test data management strategies is that you might be testing using stale data or even maybe corrupted data that's been modified by testing. So you'd be able to refresh in a matter of minutes from the latest source. And then the other innovative feature to data virtualization is the power of a reset. So going back to a previous baseline that you can bookmark as of any point in time. So that way you could create a bunch of bookmarks following a test and just quickly revert to that period of time.
Yeah, this has two great advantages in destructive QA test. I mean, for one, it takes a while to build up those databases typically. Maybe you want a copy of production, and then maybe you want to either mask it or add some edge case, corner case data. And then you want to rerun multiple tests, maybe the same test over and over again on that data as the code changes. And if the tests are destructive, it might take a while to rebuild that set of data. With virtual data, though, we can spin up a virtual database from the source database. We can mask it, add corner case data, and shut it down. And then we can make as many copies of that as we want, or we can actually keep it running, run the destructive tests, and then roll back or refresh to that point in time that you bookmarked just after you mask the data, you set up the edge case data, and you're ready to run your QA test. So we've seen a lot of companies eliminate enormous amount of infrastructure, resources, and time that they use to build up and refresh these QA test databases after each run. That can almost be eliminated. One particular case that comes to mind is it took 8 hours to refresh the database and only 20 minutes to rerun the QA test suite. So basically, they just ran this in cycles. So when they went to virtual data, that 8-hour refresh went down to like a couple of minutes. So now they're actually spending the majority of the time actually QAing code as opposed to building up a data set.
This is another interesting point in that when we run our tests in our continuous integration environment, sometimes they don't run in order, so we never know what order they're going to run in. So I never know if a team is modifying data that another test needs and they're not telling me about it, and it's somehow corrupting the data. But in theory, it sounds like I could almost create a snapshot after each test and just roll back to the way it was previously before that test ran for every test. And it sounds like it's quick enough to handle that. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Awesome.
Another thing you can do as well, so in addition to creating those bookmarks, creating a copy of a data set, we call it branching off of the main copy, occupies basically no space. So you could run a unit test in parallel without interfering with the work that another team might be doing.
Cool. So could we just take a few minutes to just talk about the architecture of your solution and all the different layers and the different pieces of it?
This might be different depending on the companies, but I'll talk about our architecture. So in our virtual data architecture, we give customers a OVA for a virtual machine that they spin up on their hardware. So, you know, any Intel hardware. And they give it any storage to this virtual machine, and our software will map on our proprietary file system. And it's that file system that will track the blocks and the changes and do the branching and the snapshotting. And also this virtual machine will have a web user interface that you can register machines, you can register a source machine, and then register the source database. And the software will automatically first collect a full copy of that data, and it doesn't ever do that again. From there and then on, it just incrementally collects the data block changes, and it keeps these in a time window so that we can spin up a copy anywhere within that time window. By default, the time window is 2 weeks, but it could be 2 months, 2 years, you know, whatever you wanted to architect for.
Going back to your previous point as well, Kyle actually wrote about this one in his recent blogs, but so there's technologies today that you can, you know, share exact machine copies or apps and builds using something like Docker, or you could make build configurations repeatable and automated. But there isn't really a way today to make that data like consistent across teams. So data virtualization is basically a way to create an integrated data set across, you know, the application stack and the database stack.
Yeah, that's one of the more powerful features. Like, it's not just about snapshotting the data, but we can also have the binary. So say they're using like an Oracle database. We could do virtual data for the Oracle distribution. We could do virtual data for the data in the Oracle database, and we could do virtual data for the application using the database. And as a QA person or a developer, I could refresh or roll back all three of those tiers together with virtual data.
Cool. So once again, I'm thinking back to the technology I work on, and we have really old backends. So we have old Sybase databases that have some sort of, you know, just the way they have it set up, it's not like your standard database. So how does this solution work? Does it only work with certain databases like Oracle, or can it consume any other database technology?
Well, I mean, in theory, virtual data applies to any data. But for our company in particular, Delphix, we have full automation, like point and click. It's a complete awareness of the databases, and those databases are Oracle, Sybase, SQL Server, MySQL, Postgres. And in those cases, it's basically just point and click in a web UI. Now, virtualizing data, like, you know, the idea of connecting to a data source, getting a copy of it, collecting the changes, being able to bookmark that and then spin off thin clone copies of that. It could be done with any database. We have people using this. Basically, we allow people to export what we call V files or virtual files, so they can stick their database, you know, whether it's Cassandra or Mongo or DB2, onto those virtual files, and then we can manage the snapshotting, cloning, thin cloning of those data files. But that's going to take a little bit of scripting. It's not complete point and click in a web UI. It takes some understanding of the databases and how to apply read logs and such.
I guess you must have a demo version of this, correct? That someone could download it and mess around with?
There's a version called Delphix Express. I haven't tried this, but I imagine if you Google Delphix Express, you'll probably find my blog and how to install it and how to download it.
In your experience, when someone's looking for a data virtualization solution, what are the main things you think they should look for in a company or for a solution that it definitely should have as main features that everyone is going to need?
I think the first thing is to look at the company's needs, the company that's looking into this technology. What are their needs? You know, what kind of data do they have? What kind of development processes do they have? And then look for a technology that covers their full stack. So, you know, if it's like an Oracle-only shop, you know, Oracle has some technologies. they might want to look into. But if it's like multiple databases like Oracle, SQL Server, or MySQL, then they're going to have to branch out of somebody outside of just that proprietary database.
And another thing I would add as well is that, especially like in the world of test data management, you might be talking about subsetting data, you might be talking about masking data, or you might be talking about generating synthetic data. And these are nothing that's new. You know, there's plenty of vendors out there that can do one or a few of these things. I think the unique differentiator, though, is delivering that data or having a data delivery mechanism. So I think the thing about a data virtualization technology is that, you know, it could work with a synthetic data generator. It could work with a subsetting tool. It could provide the masking, so you wouldn't actually need a separate masking solution. And then it would carry that data delivery mechanism, which is often one of the biggest bottlenecks in the SDLC.
So the things I look for that would concern me as a prospect looking at this technology: how easy is it to install? Do I need new hardware? Can I use my existing hardware? How automated is it? How secure is it? You know, especially does it do masking? Can it do replication of only masking outside of a protected data center? I'd want some special features like branching, so that, for example, if I'm a QA person and I find a bug, I log the bug and the developer can't reproduce it because they're on a different data set. What I like is a technology that has branching so that the QA person can basically bookmark their data and continue working on it. But they bookmark the data where that bug can be reproduced. Then the developer can spin up a copy in a couple of minutes of that exact same data. So that would be branching of data. So I like full automation. I want to connect to the source data. I want to collect the whole data set, including changes into the future. I want it to be automatically provision an up and running database without me having to be a DBA onto a target machine. I'd like to do things like being able to branch the data, like I mentioned, so that I can make, say, mask it and make multiple copies. Those would be branches. Or be a QA person who can bookmark some data. That'd be a branch to reproduce a bug.
And also to add to that, I would also stress having built-in data masking capabilities. Just like if you look at the year of 2015, there was something like 170 million records stolen. I think there's around like 700 plus data breaches. And the average cost of data breaches isn't cheap. It's something around the order of 3.5 million. So I think the need for data masking in that market is growing. So part of any data virtualization technology should have built-in masking.
Great point. Yeah. Because like apparently like 80% of the data in companies is outside of the production zone. So for example, maybe I have a production database and then maybe 7 or 8 copies of that in development. Well, that's where I probably need to spend more of my time securing it. Production tends to be secure, and often we don't think as hard about the development environments.
That's actually a great point, especially if I work in healthcare. So if we actually had a real production database, a lot of that is sensitive patient information. So having the masking feature is definitely something that would be a big win for us, because we'd be breaking a whole bunch of laws and regulations if we actually were using real patient data and not have the ability to mask it like you talked about.
And that's also like, you know, one of our biggest healthcare companies is actually using data virtualization, you know, for HIPAA compliance. And they've got something on the order of around 5,000 to 6,000 virtual databases that are, many of which are masked.
Cool. So besides these features, is there anything that Delphix has that you think most people aren't aware of? Like any features you think are a game changer if people knew more about it, or any hidden features that some people may have your product but not necessarily know that your tool can actually help them with?
I would say having self-service is probably one of the biggest differentiators. So being able, or the developer's ability to, you know, orchestrate and align data with their application code and test. So when I refer to self-service, I'm talking about things like bookmarking, branching data sets, refreshing data sets with just a press of a button. Another thing in test data management as well is that often the integrity of the data might be impacted if data is coming from a bunch of different sources. Maybe it's out of sync. So one unique feature is that you can integrate multiple databases as of any point in time. Another thing is we talked about bookmarking, but also sharing that data. So, you know, if like an error is found during a QA cycle, one of the challenges many companies might face today is getting that environment state back to the development team to run tests again and correct for the error. So with data virtualization, you'd be able to quickly bookmark and then share that data back. So these are all things that are carried out through a self-service portal.
So what would you say some of the key usages for test data virtualization for your particular solution that you think most of your customers are using Delphix for?
I think of the product and basically the who it applies to. So I think like three different kind of customers out there. There's customers with legacy software that they're customizing it. Yep. And I think about customers building their own software. And then I think about customers who are modernizing. Maybe they're moving to the cloud or trying to implement DevOps processes. And these are sort of the categories that data virtualization fits into.
Yeah, and building on that as well, and also relating back to data masking, is even if you are securing that data non-production, having like role-based access controls or separating the privileges between IT teams and then app teams, I think is another important area to cover. So giving IT teams, you know, the controls over provisioning new environments or retaining data on disk be rolled back to, separating those privileges out from, you know, things like reset or bookmark or branching. But I agree with Kyle. I think that the benefits could sort of be viewed based on which teams they apply to.
Okay. I think as more companies move towards DevOps, like you just mentioned, probably data virtualization is a need that more and more companies are probably going to have to start investing in, I would think. So is this something you've been seeing as a trend?
This would be something I'd be interested in your viewpoint on. Because from my point of view, I don't see how people can really do solid continuous integration or continuous delivery without virtual data. Like if I have to kick off multiple QA runs a day and I need a copy of the production data set, it takes generally if that data set's large, it'll take me too long to build up real physical copies of those. But with data virtualization or virtual data, I can spin those copies up in maybe 2 to 10 minutes, and then I can actually run multiple QA suites per day and do CI/CD.
It's a great point because a lot of times we hear people complaining, "Well, this isn't a real representation of what our customers would have because we have such a small data set," and because just to speed it up, so. Because we don't have that in place, we're not able to have a realistic back end that we're testing against that a customer would have.
I think it was Jez Humble and continuous integration. I think he has a whole chapter on databases. Yeah, and that book's been out for a few years. So before virtual data really was taken off, but his approach is, you know, to have rollback scripts and such. But I think if you look around or talk to people, first it's hard to do. And second, because it's hard to do, people don't usually do it. So it's not a very successful strategy. Sometimes it's just not even feasible. If I'm doing some massive data modifications, the rollback might take a long time.
Once again, another great point, something we've experienced. I tried it when we first started our test development efforts. I told them, hey, we need to start doing better rollbacks or something that we can clean up. And they couldn't do it. It was too difficult. The back end, they didn't really understand. It took too long. So that's another great point. So it sounds like data virtualization also would help with those type of issues.
Oh, yeah, totally.
All right, guys. I know you mentioned Kyle's blog. Are there any other resources that you think people should go to in order to learn more about Delphix or even learn more about data virtualization in general?
So I think Kyle's blog is definitely the greatest resource, and it has a pretty wide spread of, you know, different challenges and issues that Delphix can solve. I think in addition, there's a lot of other people at Delphix that might also be writing blog posts, which can be accessed on the website.
The Delphix website, delphix.com, also has a blog section where various engineers and people at Delphix blog about related topics.
So this is going to sound like an odd question. It's just, I think a lot of people sometimes, when they hear our solution like this, they're afraid to approach the company because all of a sudden they get bombarded with sales calls. And so what's the culture like at Delphix? Say someone wanted to learn more about your solution and they wanted to try it out. What should they do in order to learn more about it?
I definitely understand that reaction. I mean, this is Kyle, and as like somebody who's been in the field as a DBA, and I can be very cynical towards salespeople and such. So two things. One, that Delphix Express, if you go to my blog, I can tell you how to download it such that you won't get a call. there's two ways to download it. One, you'll get a call, and one you won't, but you have to check out my blog. And the other is there's a community. There's a community.delphix.com. It's mainly used by people that use the Delphix Express or the free version. But you can ask any questions you want there. It's, you know, it's non-sales. It's monitored by technical people. So you should get a pretty, you know, non-salesy technical substantial answer in the community forums. So community.delphix.com.
So we mentioned a few times that data virtualization is kind of a new technique. So can you just summarize again what the benefits are or what is data virtualization for someone that may still be struggling to kind of figure out, is this something that can help them and exactly what does it do for them?
I can just give a little summary review. I mean, I think virtual data for most people is a completely new topic with people I run into. And I have two reactions. One is it's impossible. You can't be doing this quick, which is great because then we can show them. You can download Delphic Express and try it yourself. The second reaction I get is, oh, we've got an EMC storage filer or NetApp, and it takes snapshots, so I can do it. My question would be, well, if you can do it, then why don't you do it? And two, I think if it's more like, the internet was around for ages before there's a browser, but the only people that used it were academics. So I sort of look at storage snapshots like that too. You can do a lot of what Delphix does. You can't do it all because some of the stuff we've gotten down to the operating system. You can do a lot of it, but it's going to be a ton of work. So, sort of the reasons things take off is by the ease of use. So once the browser came out, everybody started using the web. Once Docker came out, containers went off like crazy. Before, I could do containers that before Docker, but it wasn't as automated or as easy. Yeah, that's a good way to end it there for me on my input. It's like virtual data is sort of like containers for data.
How long does it take a typical user to get up to speed with your solution?
I've said it in several different ways, but like Delphix Express, which is the same thing as Delphix, it's just got some limitations on it. I can install about 15 minutes on my Mac with both source and target linked and an already provisioned a database. I think I'd say an average user can download Delphix Express and probably do it in a half hour. When a customer actually buys Delphix, it comes with 2 weeks of consulting. People are usually up and running in a couple of days. Generally, installing Delphix is easy. I mean, it installs like in 15 minutes to a half hour. The only thing that takes a while is if there's a big database that we're linking to, say like a 10 terabyte database. That initial link, which only happens once, never happens again, that initial link might take a couple of days. And then from then and there, we just collect the changes. Provisioning the virtual database only takes a few minutes. So how hard is it to get going? I'm a bit biased because I've been here so long, but I see people pick up Delphix Express and get going really quickly with it.
And another interesting thing too is that so while an administrator might be like a primary end user of Delphix and they're probably the one that needs to get Delphix up and running, it's really developers and testers that are the key beneficiaries to using the product. I think that the self-service portal is pretty intuitive, easy to use.
And also, like, one thing that comes to mind is like the administration of Delphix. Customer after customer have told me that they've gone from like a couple of DBAs doing these physical copies down to a junior DBA quarter time or less taking care of Delphix.
That's another roadblock I always see is once it goes into another group like the DBAs, sometimes it gets lost and you have to go through layers of a bureaucracy to get to it. But
that's a huge point.
Right.
It's one thing saying that these technical actions or these scripts might run in a few minutes. And it's another thing getting my manager to sign off, getting a DBA to get the resources, getting a sysadmin to get the resources, getting a storage admin, getting the snapshots of the store. I mean, and those guys are passing it around. They have their own queues of work to do. Yeah, often it feels like it just goes off in a black hole. Now I've got self-service. I just hit a button. A couple minutes later, I have the data I want.
Awesome. This sounds like an awesome solution. I think it's going to help a lot of companies. I talk to a lot of different people, and one of the hardest things is test data management. So I'm definitely going to download it, try it out, and see what I can do with it. So like you said, you do offer 2 weeks of free consulting if someone purchased this. I guess you can't tell me the exact pricing, but do you have a ballpark you can tell me, or is that something that someone would have to contact you to find out more about?
I think the party line is somebody to have to contact you. Okay. But I can say this. Delphix does do an ROI study with each customer and make sure that our price is well below the benefits that the customer is getting. And so we do that for each customer. So it's customized.
Another thing I would add as well. So I don't know how relevant this would be to your audience, but Delphix has sort of started with targeting a lot of like the Fortune 100, 500 companies. And going back to like your point before about, a lot of companies might have legacy Sybase databases. And these databases might be, 1, 2, 3 terabytes. And then you're making 10 copies of that. And all of a sudden you're at 10, 20, 30 terabytes. And then if you look at, some of the largest financial services institutions out there, they might have something like 2-3 petabytes of data, more than half of which is just copies of the same data. The biggest reason why some of previous Delphix customers have invested in Delphix is because they've been able to consolidate that footprint. So you can sort of do the math, like what the savings could be from that perspective. But then they've also, seen enormous gains in terms of like their software delivery processes, like automating the data delivery process in their SDLC.
Yeah, it's interesting. So back when I first joined Delphix, a number of the customers back then were buying Delphix for storage savings. And then it quickly turned out that those first like wave of customers came back to us and be like, their response was, we don't really care about the storage savings now. We're so much more agile. We can go so much faster. That's all we care about. The storage is just icing on the cake.
Okay, Kyle and Brett, before we go, is there one piece of actual advice you can give someone to help them with virtualized data? And let us know the best way to find or contact you to learn more about Delphix and your virtual data solution.
I mean, a very biased response would be, yeah. Download Delphix Express, try it out. It'll change your life with test data management.
Thank you, Brett and Kyle, for your test management automation awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we covered in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/89. And while you're there, make sure to click on the Sign Up Now free button to learn all about Sauce Labs' awesome products and services. And if this episode has helped you in any way, why not share it with a friend or coworker? And together, we could spread automation awesomeness to the masses. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.